I'd like you to turn with me this morning, please, to the Gospel of Luke. We're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. I'd like to thank the Reverend McRae for his words of welcome. My wife and I hear those words every Lord's Day morning when we are welcomed to the sermon audio broadcast, but it's nice to have the given a more personal welcome this morning. I'd like to thank our brother and the session for the invitation to come and be part of this Bible conference this week. And I do bring you greetings from my congregation in Port Hope, Ontario, in Canada. We arrived on Wednesday, and when we were at the Newton Abbey prayer meeting on Wednesday night, we could hear the wind and the rain beating against the window. And I thought, I hope the next few weeks isn't like this. But here we are, beautiful Lord's Day morning, and we're certainly glad to be here. And we do look forward to the week of meetings, and we trust indeed the Lord will bring us down to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. We'll begin our reading at verse 36. Luke 7 and verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. It is our prayer that the Lord will bless the reading of this word to our hearts, and even today will speak to us from this portion of God's word. Before we consider the word of the Lord to our hearts this morning, let us once again unite in prayer. Let us all pray. O Lord, our God and gracious Father, we thank Thee that we're found in the Lord's house this Sabbath morning, that, Lord, Thou hast put the desire in our hearts to be here. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. And, O Lord, as we sit in Thy house this morning, grant us, Lord, the listening ear. Now today we might hear the voice of our beloved, even the Lord Jesus Christ. May we experience what John the Baptist experienced, for he was glad when he heard the bridegroom's voice. Lord, may we hear the bridegroom's voice this morning. And may we have the same experience as the disciples in the upper room when the dear Savior appeared in their midst and stood in the midst of them. And we read then with the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. O gracious Father, gladden our hearts this morning with a fresh view and glimpse of our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I pray Thou would grant to me the help and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And, Lord, am I being able to preach the Word? And in preaching the Word, we will preach Christ and speak well of His shed blood and of His finished work at Calvary. We do ask all these things in the Lord's name, ascribing to Him all the praise, all the honor, and all of the glory. Amen. The Gospel of Luke chapter 7, and our text for this morning is the verse 38. We want to look today at this woman down at the feet of Christ. And as you know, that'll be our theme throughout this week, considering some of those individuals who we read about who were down at the feet of Jesus. And here this woman came into the house of Simon. And we're told that when she saw him, she came and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and had wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Luke is the only one of the four evangelists to record this incident. And in this incident, there are three principal characters. First of all, we're told about Simon. Simon the Pharisee. As well as Simon, there is the sinner. And then there is the Savior, Simon the sinner and the Savior. First of all, we're told something about Simon. We're told about his invitation to the Savior. We read there in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went in to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. It was indeed most commendable that Simon readily invited and welcomed the Lord into his house. For we know now there are many houses, without a doubt, here in this town of Makrefeld, where the Lord Jesus would not be welcome. There is many a table and many a house where the Lord Jesus would find no place. And here we have Simon inviting the Lord into his home to sit down at meat with them. But then soon another person appears, and we are told that it was a woman in the city which was a sinner. And as she ministered unto the Lord, Simon then revealed his ignorance about the Savior. Even though he had invited the Lord into the house, he revealed his ignorance about Christ, because he thought that the Lord Jesus was no prophet. Verse 39. He thought the Lord was no prophet. He was ignorant of that fact, and yet at the same time, the Lord Jesus Christ was more than a prophet. For he not only knew all about this city woman, but he knew the very thoughts of Simon. Simon is so typical of many today. For he had the Savior in his house, but more importantly, he didn't have the Savior in his heart. He knew about the stranger of Galilee, but he didn't know anything about the Savior of Calvary. It was then that Simon was instructed by the Savior. The Lord taught him the difference between a religious Simon and a redeemed sinner. For we read in verse 40, And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. So he wanted to teach Simon what it was for someone to love Christ, because Simon had no love for the Lord at all. It was all an outward show, a very religious man, but he wasn't a redeemed man. There was no love in his heart for Christ, while this woman in contrast, had a heart that overflowed with love for her Savior. And that's what we want to do this morning. I want to consider this woman's love for the Lord Jesus and how she demonstrated that love. And may we take our place with her down at the feet of Jesus. I want us first of all to consider the woman and the example of her love for Christ. While we are given the name of the Pharisee, we're not given the name of the woman. She remains an anonymous individual. Her name may not be hidden, or may be hidden from us, but there is one thing we are told about her. First of all, we're told about her reputation. She had a reputation like another woman in a different city. For there in the city of Jericho lived Rahab the harlot. This woman was the Rahab of the New Testament. This woman may not be known by her name, but she was certainly known by her trade. She'd been a woman of the night. But sometime, somewhere, she met the Master. And suddenly and savingly, her night was turned into day. She was a saved sinner. When this woman entered the house of Simon that day, she did so as a saved sinner. She didn't come into the house to be saved. She was already saved. She'd met the Lord, as we've said, somewhere, sometime. And he had transformed her life. And upon seeing Christ in the house of Simon, we are told, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner entered in. Now we look at those words carefully. Behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Those words may also be rendered, a woman which used to be a sinner. Or they may be rendered, a woman in time past a sinner. And that's important. We know why this woman loved the Savior so much. Because the Lord had saved her. She could say, my sins were washed away, my night was turned to day, and heaven came down and glory filled my soul. It is important to note that she wasn't saved because she loved the Lord. No. This woman loved the Lord because she was saved. And so this woman came into Simon's house as a saved sinner. But notice also that while she spent her time there at the feet of Jesus, she did so as a saved sinner and she did so as a silent sinner. For there is no record given of anything that she said as she showed examples of her love for Christ. There's not one word recorded of anything that she said. And what do we deduce from that? We learn from that her actions spoke louder than words. The Lord didn't need to ask her, as he did and had done so later to Peter. Remember? He said to Peter, lovest thou me? The Lord didn't have to ask this woman that. He didn't have to ask her, dear woman, do you love me? Her action simply said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. She answered not with words, but she did answer with her works. As well as her reputation, we notice also here her readiness. The house of Simon, wherever it would have been accessible to all who wished to enter. There in that hot country, the windows were open, the doors were open to let air circulate. And so as this woman possibly was passing by and she looked in and she saw the master there and she entered in, we can see that a number of people were already in that house. We know that from verse 49, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this? So there were others in the house. Possibly the house was crowded with the Lord Jesus being there. And yet we see that this woman, in spite of the reputation she had, and no doubt she was well known, the Pharisee knew all about her. The Pharisee knew what kind of a woman she was. She was a woman of ill repute. But the Lord had saved her. And in spite of the reputation she had, she readily entered that house and stood at his feet behind him. In other words, this woman, after having met with Christ and been forgiven by Christ and saved by Christ, she didn't really care what people thought of her. Her love for the Savior overcame her fear of man's face. She could easily have said, oh, I don't want to go in there. People know me and what kind of a woman I was. But you see, her love for the Savior overcame that fear. She really didn't care what people thought of her or what people said about her. She loved the Lord. And as we read in 1 John 4, and there in the verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Praise the Lord. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And this woman's love for her dear Savior cast out all fear of the face of man. And she came in and stood at his feet behind him. As well as her reputation and her readiness, we have her response. When I say response, I mean what she did upon seeing the Savior seated there at meat in Simon's house. Well, we're told in verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. That was her response. Upon seeing the Lord Jesus, who had done so much for her, she wanted to give him something. And so she went and fetched an alabaster box of ointment, because approaching the Lord and seeing the Lord in the house, the one that she loved, she didn't want to go to him empty-handed. And so she brought with her an alabaster box of ointment. And bringing this gift to her Savior was just another example and another way of her saying, my Jesus, I love thee. I find in the Gospels two other women did exactly the same thing. You can read about them in Matthew 26, verses 6 and 7. John 12, verses 1, 2 and 3. Those women did the same thing. They brought precious ointment to the Lord and they anointed the Lord, all three of them. And what each one of them brought as a gift to the Savior spoke of their love for Christ. The Lord Jesus had obviously done something very special to each of those women. And the Lord had saved this woman in Simon's house, a woman of ill repute, a woman who stood in the dark alleys of the town until she met the Savior. And there she was in Simon's house, a woman who had been saved, a woman who had been sanctified, and a woman who in Simon's house would be supported by her Savior. She had every reason to love the Lord. She had every reason to bring that alabaster box. Why? It was the least she could do. After all, the Lord had done for her. He had pardoned her of her sin. He had given her peace in her heart. He had at last given her purity of life. And her response was to come and bring the alabaster box of ointment. It was the least she could do. And as we are gathered here this Sabbath day in the Lord's house, what has the Lord done for us? Dare we come to Him empty-handed? Because anything we bring to Him is an expression of our love. And here was the woman brought the alabaster box of ointment. What have we done for Christ? What have we given to Christ? Yes, we're saved. But what do we bring to Him? In Proverbs, Solomon says, "Son, give me thine heart." Have we done that? Have we given Christ our heart? The heart in Scripture speaks of the seat of the affections. When we tell our spouses or we tell our children or our grandchildren, "I love you with all my heart." That's what this woman was saying to the Lord. "I love you with all my heart." Surely giving the Lord our heart, giving the Lord our all, is the very least we can do. For He might say to us, "I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightest ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee." What hast thou given to me? As well as this woman and the example of her love, I want us now to consider the woman and the expression of her love. how she expressed that love as she came to the feet of Christ. This unknown woman in Simon's house expressed her love for her Savior in so many ways. So many ways. As the Savior reclined at the table, the woman, we're told, stood at his feet behind him. In fact, as she came to the feet of her Savior, you will notice that she did five things. Five things at the feet of Christ. You look there at our text in the verse 38. We notice, first of all, she stood at his feet. She washed his feet. She wiped his feet. She kissed his feet. And she anointed his feet. Five things. Five is the number of grace. And what this woman did that day in the house of Simon to her Lord and her Savior, as she was there at his feet, was all of grace. It was grace that changed and transformed this woman's life. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will cleanse and pardon within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. And the grace of God saved this woman and transformed her and brought her to the place where she fell in love with Christ. But we can ask ourselves the question, why did she focus so much attention and give so much attention to the feet of Christ? As we have already noted, she stood at his feet. She washed his feet. She wiped his feet. She kissed his feet. She anointed his feet. Why such attention given to the feet of Christ? I believe the answer is found in Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good and publisheth salvation. And the woman gave such attention to the feet of Christ because it was the feet of the Master that came to her with good tidings. And we know the gospel is the gospel of good tidings. And those same feet brought to that woman not only the gospel of good tidings, he brought her peace, and those feet brought her salvation. That's what those divine feet said to that woman. These are the feet that brought salvation to me. No wonder she focused so much upon the feet of her dear Savior. Isn't that our place? Down at the feet of Christ. So as she stood there, we notice her tears. No sooner had she come to the feet of Christ than we're told she began to weep. Those were the tears of gratitude. Every drop of salty tear that came from her eyes told the Lord Jesus how much she loved him. Regarding her tears, we notice that she washed his feet with tears. Her tears flowed so freely that she was able to wash his feet. Indeed, when we look at that word wash, that same word is translated another way over in Matthew 5 and verse 45. For there in Matthew 5 and verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. The word wash is translated here rain. Same word. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that this woman in her weeping, her tears fell as profusely as rain. Her tears flowed so freely that she was able to actually wash the feet of Christ. Oh, how this woman must have loved the Savior. That just upon seeing him, just looking into his face, just standing at his feet, caused her to weep and weep and weep. Would this, dear Christian, not be a rebuke to us? We come and we sit at the Lord's table. And we remember the broken body and we remember the shed blood, and we do so with a dry eye. We sing perhaps such hymns as, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and poor contempt and all my pride." And we sing those hymns, and we do so unmoved, and not a single tear trickles down our cheek. And when God's servants preach the word and they bring us to Calvary, and with the soldiers we sit down and we watch him there, we do so unmoved. What's wrong? How hard and cold our hearts are when we consider this woman. There at the feet of Jesus, wept and wept and wept and wept. So much so she was able to wash his feet with her tears. She never said a word. She just silently wept at the feet of Christ. She washed his feet. Then we're told she wiped his feet. This woman then proceeded to wipe them, the feet of Christ, with the hairs of her head. It's very significant that. Very significant that the woman used the hairs of her head to wipe the feet of Christ. So the woman must have had long hair that she was able to do this. And that brings to mind the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 15. "But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her." Isn't that interesting? This woman had long hair. And there she was. Now she's down at the feet of Christ. And with her long hair, she's wiping the feet of Christ. Now think of it. Think of this woman's reputation. She had nothing, nothing whatsoever of herself to glory in. Her long hair was her glory. And we find her glory is down at the feet of Christ. Her glory is down at the feet of Christ. She hadn't much else, had she, to glory in, apart from the Savior, of course. But of herself, she had nothing, nothing. And her long hair being her glory, there it is, down at the feet of the Savior. As Paul said, 1 Corinthians 1:29 and 31, that no flesh should glory in his presence. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And there's that woman with nothing to glory in, and all that she had was her long hair, and her glory was placed at the feet of Christ. And my, apart from Christ, you and I have nothing to glory in. And what we have, we ought to leave it down at the feet of the Savior. Not only do we see her tears, they also have her tenderness. This woman, it appears now, took her place down at the feet of Jesus, for we're told, and she kissed his feet. There you have her loving tenderness. The Apostle Peter said, 1 Peter 5 and verse 14, greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Charity, we know, means love. Greet ye one another with the kiss of love. That's exactly what this woman did when she met the Savior. She greeted him with the kiss of love. Isn't that what the kiss speaks to us of? Speaks to us of love. You recall when the prodigal returned home, and the father saw him a long way off and ran to meet him and fell on his neck and kissed him. What was the father saying? He was saying, son, I love you. I love you, son. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you're back again. And when this woman kissed the Savior's feet, she's saying, Lord Jesus, I love thee. I love thee. This woman's kiss spoke of her love for Christ. It was not only loving tenderness, but we can say it was a lingering tenderness. The woman did not just kiss the feet of Christ once and then leave. Look at what the Lord said in verse 45. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Her love for her Lord so overflowed in her heart that she just couldn't cease couldn't stop kissing the Lord. And every kiss conveyed the same message. I love thee. She kissed him again and said, I love thee. And again, I love thee. Again, I love thee. She wouldn't stop kissing his feet. Because as far as she was concerned, she would never stop loving him. That's why we sang this morning those words, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou, if ever I love thee. My Jesus, 'tis now. As well as her tears and her tenderness, we notice her touch. Simon the Pharisee criticized this woman, saying, verse 39, what manner of woman this is that toucheth him? But this was no fleeting touch. No. The word that we have here for touch is a word that means to fasten onto. It means to be attached to. It means to hold on to. Now we get the picture. In other words, this woman took the feet of her Savior in her hands. And she wouldn't let them go. She didn't want to let him go. And there she held the feet of Christ in her hands and kissed them and kissed them and kissed them and kissed them again. And every kiss said, I love thee. Like the bride in the Song of Solomon. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? I found him. I found him whom my soul loveth, and I held him, and I would not let him go. Oh, to love Christ like that. Oh, to love the Savior in this way. Oh, if he was here in person, in the flesh. Is that what we would do? Sure, we'd throw our arms around him and say, Lord Jesus, I love thee. But hold on to him, wouldn't want to let him go. Oh, we love him today. That woman loved the Lord that day. Her tears, her tenderness, her touch, and her testimony. Further to all that she had done down at the feet of Jesus, she does one more thing. She kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, what did this woman mean by the anointing of the feet of Christ? Well, if you look at those in the scriptures who were anointed, you'll get a clue to what this woman was thinking. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Lord hath anointed me to preach. Those words were fulfilled. And the Lord quoted them in Luke chapter 4. This day are these words fulfilled in your ears. The Lord hath anointed me to preach. So there's the prophet. There's the prophet. Prophet was anointed. Exodus 30 and verse 30. Thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons. Aaron, he was the priest. So a prophet was anointed. Priest was anointed. 1 Samuel 15 verse 1. The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over Israel. Now do you get it? When that woman came and anointed the Lord Jesus, you know what she was saying? She was saying, Lord Jesus, thou art my prophet, thou art my priest, and thou art my king. Thou art the prophet who brought the glad tidings of the gospel to me. Thou art the priest who intercedes for me. And even as he did that day in Simon's house. And she's saying, thou art my king. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. All my glory, Lord, I have left it at thy feet. I give thee all the glory. For thou art my king. Is he your king? In the last place, and quickly, we notice the woman and the explanation of her love. Simon the Pharisee wasted no time in commenting on this woman and her actions. Just typical of a Pharisee. Now when the Pharisee, verse 39, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. There you have the critic. Typical of the Pharisee, anything the Lord did, Pharisees weren't too far away to criticize him. The Lord and this woman's hearts were filled with love for one another. And there sat or stood that old Pharisee with no love in his heart whatsoever. None at all. Just an old, cold-hearted, religious individual. So all he had was his religion. No love for Christ. None. Are there any Simons here today? Any Simons in this meeting today? And the heart that beats within your breast has no love for Christ? Your heart is cold. And you cannot sing truly those words, my Jesus, I love thee. Do you not think it's time you had Christ in your heart? And come even today and take your place down at the feet of Jesus. Or maybe you once were in love with the Lord. And all that we have said this morning, you can say, preacher, I know what you're talking about. That's the way I once was. but I've got away from him. And my heart is cold now. And I've more love for Christ, more love for the world than I have for Christ. There's room at the feet of Christ today. Why don't you come? Fall down at his feet and say, Lord Jesus, I love thee as I once loved thee. I love thee today. As well as the critic, you have the commendation. The Savior commended her for what she had done and explained to Simon the reason why. Verses 41 and 42. This woman loved the Lord so much because he had done so much for her. He loved her so much because the Lord had forgiven so much. Have we not been forgiven much? Sure we have. If the Lord had not come in his love for us and redeemed us and saved us and pardoned us and forgiven us, where would we be today? Do you ever think about that? What life would you be living today? How near to hell would you be today? Yeah, maybe in it, maybe already there. The Lord said this woman had been forgiven much. Why? Because she loved much. She loved much. Because she'd been forgiven much. But we not to love him too that way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because he's done so much for me. And the confirmation, the Lord simply said, thy sins are forgiven. He's already said. She loved much because she was forgiven much. The Lord just confirms it to her. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Down at the feet of Jesus. And how this woman expressed her love for Christ. Down at the feet of Jesus. Let's get there today. If you're a sinner, but you're not a saved sinner, come to the feet of Christ. If you're a backslider and you once loved him, you've gone cold, gone away to the far country. Come home today. Take your place down at the feet of Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, our God and loving Father, we give thee thanks for the testimony, Lord, of this woman. And we don't even know her name. But Lord, thou knowest. And we pray, Lord, thou would bring us to that same place where that woman was that day. And Lord, by faith, may we lay hold upon those feet. Those feet that are now nail pierced. By faith, Lord, may we kiss those feet and say afresh today, my Jesus, I do love thee. For any unconverted here today, they can't say that. They have a love for lesser things. Or any today have grown cold in heart. And they love other things more. Lord, draw them to thy feet today. May we indeed, as this woman left the house of Simon, rejoicing having met with her Savior. And the Lord said, go in peace. May we do so today. Be with us, Lord, throughout this Sabbath day. Return us to thy house this evening with a desire to meet afresh with Christ. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.